Raisin Brand is a podcast made for video professionals, marketing managers, top-notch designers, and ambitious minds, helping your business grow one topic at a time. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Raisin Brand podcast. My name is Aaron, and I'm a brand strategist with Pixel Labs, and I'm really excited. We have a great topic today all about starting a business in college, and we have a wonderful guest, so I'd like to introduce you to Savannah Warren. Savannah, nice to have you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes. I'd like to start off by welcoming our guest, Savannah. She is a 21-year-old who attended University of Northern Iowa for business and entrepreneurship. I also studied there for business. Good spot. More than 2 years ago, she started creating her own coffee syrups after finding her love for all things coffee. She has spent her time perfecting it and now uses her syrups in her own storefront, the Savvy Bean, which is an espresso and acai bar. I say that word incorrectly a lot. Do you get a lot of people coming in and saying that?
Yeah. They call it just about anything, but it's acai for the record.
Okay, cool. My wife, that was the one that fixed it for me. It was bad, but... So just to start off, I have a few questions, but before we start, would you just like to give me a little bit of background about your story and how this kind of came to be in the Savvy Bean?
Yeah, absolutely. So I initially started working at a franchise coffee house, and that's kind of where I found my love for all things coffee. I think my third day, and I was really overwhelmed, but I think I also knew that it was going to be what I spent the rest of my life doing.
Oh, wow.
I just loved it. And so I worked there for 2 years, kind of worked my way up to be like a supervisor there. And then, I don't know, I just wanted to do something different, just see if coffee was really it. So I went and sold phones and hated it and came back to coffee. And right around that time, I was also like, well, I need something to do with my spare time. So I was like, how do I be in the coffee industry without owning a coffee shop, which I couldn't do as a sophomore in college.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I don't want to roast because that's really competitive and really hard to get into. So I was like, maybe I just make coffee syrups. So I tried it out and they were really good. So I was like, well, what if I just put them on Facebook and just try to sell them on Marketplace? We'll see how it does. And they took off from there. Coffee shops found it and they were like, oh my gosh, we need something different than the standard. And so, yeah, it just kind of grew and grew and grew it to serve over 35 coffee shops nationwide.
Wow.
And then I started looking for a space to have a coffee shop because that was always the original plan. And I came across a spot in downtown Waterloo. And so I pulled the trigger and then I decided to actually exit the coffee syrup company and let someone else take it a little bit further. So I could focus all my energy into the coffee shop, but
oh wow,
yeah, it's been a wild ride, but it's been so fun.
Yeah, you're talking about exits and different. Do you know how many units you've sold over your time?
Oh boy, I don't know. It would be a ton because coffee shops order a ton of coffee syrups.
Oh, I bet. And how many syrups were there at the time that you exited?
Oh boy, I think there were 12, and then there's probably at least 4 to 5 seasonal ones. So 12 that stayed around year round, and then some that would come around different seasons.
And so are you still involved in that, or is that other entity taking it on all their own?
Yeah, so someone else took it on, and he's doing some really great things. He actually also went to UNI and had a donut truck. So he's very familiar with business, and he is killing it, quite frankly. He's probably got 50 flavors now, and out of the box and just amazing.
So you talked a little bit about, I think you said you knew the third day that this is what you're going to do forever. Talk a little bit about what that meant. You said you were crazy, you were overwhelmed, but that's when you knew. Tell me what happened that kind of you found like that.
I think just making coffee, I just kind of realized that while this was really overwhelming and I was really nervous, that I was going to do something wrong, there was so much creativity in it. And I could just make coffee how I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously within the restraints of what the franchise wanted, but just the creativity that I could have, the different drinks I could make, all the different aspects there are to coffee, because there's a lot more than just pulling a shot of espresso. There's actually 12 factors that go into a shot. So I think I was just intrigued by the complexity. And then also the customers were great. I've always worked in customer service, and it was very hard until I got to coffee because, everyone's great. You get a chance to make people's day better. Usually they haven't had caffeine. You get to caffeinate them. So yeah, people are super nice.
Oh, too. My gosh. Well, so there's a couple of different lanes that we could go down as it relates to your experience of business and marketing. I'll stay on the service for now, and then we'll probably move to the coffee shop in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But talk about, so, you know, you wanted to make the syrups, you figured that out. I'm sure, you know, you probably don't want to share your special ingredients, but, yeah. You know, what was that process like actually formulating some of those and developing those?
Oh, boy. I would say it was difficult because I wanted things to be perfect. And mm-hmm. there was a lot of trial and error in just trying to figure out how to make the best syrups and, like, what's the correct viscosity? Like, how much flavor should they be? What's overpowering? How much of one flavor should you add versus another if you're making a combination? I think it was just, I mean, it wasn't impossible, but it was tough to get, like, the formula perfect.
Yeah.
And to find my area.
Interesting. So did you have, like, 40 different cups and palate cleansers and you just
quit
on the line?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's fun. So then kind of sticking with the syrup, so you talked about that, you know, they went really, really quickly on Facebook, and then the coffee shop started asking for them. Talk about what you were doing to get that attention to your product.
Yeah, so I don't think I was doing anything special other than just posting on, like, Facebook Marketplace. And my original plan with the coffee syrups was just to sell to the average consumer, like someone who makes coffee at home. And I found that was very tough because you just have to package syrups a lot smaller and a lot more. So when a coffee shop kind of came to me, it was like, hey, like, we'd love to use these. Is there anything you can do to make them larger quantities, cheaper, yeah. wholesale, things like that? I was like, okay, I can, we'll try this out. And then I think within a few months, that became, like, the main focus.
And so was that an individual that also owned a coffee shop that came to you? Or what did that? Okay.
Yeah, I had a coffee shop in Council Bluffs come to me. She was one of, like, the very first. And we had one in Waverly that was one of our very first, too. They just wanted to see what the syrups are about. And they ended up, like, loving them because they were so different than what was on the market at the time. I mean, there's mm-hmm. really 2-3 major coffee syrup companies. So it was nice to have something different other than the very limited options that there were at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even if you were supporting coffee shops around the country, the idea that it's a small, you know, like self-employed shop, that it's all about quality and supporting the end product. I think that people really like supporting those types of operations. So that's cool.
Absolutely.
And then something I don't know, especially for, you know, when I think about myself getting outside of school, you know, just running a business and kind of some of the things that you never would think about, you know, because I'm sure you got into contracts and different things that you never would have ever expected getting into. Talk a little bit about maybe what you learned or something that, you know, through that business that you found out about that you never would have thought about before.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot that I didn't know when I started the coffee syrup company. I mean, I didn't walk into it and was like, okay, I know everything, so I can start it now. I think I just took it one day at a time. Like, I learned things as I went on. Like, I didn't know how to start a food-based business. I didn't know how to ship anything. I'd never shipped anything, actually, or mailed anything. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot to learn, just learning all the aspects of business. And I think just learning, like, one of the things we had to build a syrup trailer so I could cook the syrups in. So
oh,
I had
like
a space kind of away that was away from my pets and just very mm-hmm. for syrups only. And I think that was one of the fun things, was trying to figure out how to build a food trailer, because we just bought a trailer that had electrical and decked it out ourselves.
Oh my gosh, that's cool.
That was a blast.
Oh my gosh, that's so interesting. All right, so then now kind of transitioning into the coffee business, talk a little bit about when you knew that was the right time, and then as you were looking at where to start, how you knew that that was the right spot to start in Waterloo.
Yeah, so there's a lot to this one. So last summer, I was actually working for a 4-star resort in Montana, kind of helping them figure out their coffee program because they wanted to be at that next level. So I went there for a summer, and let me tell you, Montana is beautiful. So if you ever get the chance to go, do it.
We actually are going this year, so I have questions for you after this. That's
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I was there, and I just realized how much I missed making coffee. Like, I got to make the coffee every day for these customers, and I just missed, like, the interaction and, like, being able to make my own drinks, my own creations. So I think when I came back from Montana in August, I was like, okay, it's time. Like, let's make it happen. I mean, I graduate soon, and hopefully I'll have something started by the time I graduate. And the plan was to lease or buy a space in May when I was supposed to graduate, and then get it all decked out and ready to go 6 months after I graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at a spot in Waverly, but it turns out Waverly is a little out of my price range as a college student. So I couldn't make that work, sadly. But my real estate agent showed me the space in downtown Waterloo, so the Savvy Bean, and I was like, it doesn't have a drive-through. It's not exactly what I want, but let's start. It's a good starting point. So I got it, and I actually fell in love with the space.
Mm-hmm.
And the timing was definitely not ideal. I mean, I had to start it while still in college.
Oh, wow.
I actually dropped back to part-time, so I don't graduate till December now. While it wasn't the perfect timing, I think it was the right timing. It wasn't ideal while I was still in college, but the cards played out perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually fell in love with the space, and I can't imagine having started in Waverly. I think downtown Waterloo was, I think I'm going to be there for a long time. Awesome. It's a really great area.
Awesome. Well, and I think you said something there that's important that, you know, and I think us as humans, we want the perfect start. We want to know exactly what we should do, when we should do it. But that's not how it goes. And it's,
mm-hmm.
if you're waiting for that perfect moment to start, it's not going to come. And so you just need to do it. So what, you know, even in that imperfect timing, imperfect moment, what was like the yes, no, I need to do this?
I think it was just seeing this, because when I got the Savvy Bean, there was a coffee shop that was there before and it was closing, and there was going to be nothing close in downtown Waterloo.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, it would be such a disservice to let this business close and not become a coffee shop again. Downtown Waterloo needs this. And then at some point it became downtown Waterloo needs the Savvy Bean. I could do such great things here. I could help the community. And in Waverly, there's already a ton of coffee shops. Mm-hmm. In downtown Waterloo, I was the only one within, a mile.
Oh, wow.
I just felt Waterloo needed it. And at some aspect, I think I also needed Waterloo. Mm-hmm. It opened my eyes a little bit and got me to experience something different, which is great.
Wow. That's awesome. And that's something I actually was curious about, too, is there are some different coffee shops. But I never knew that there was that wide of, a space around yours. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of folks that live down there, and could definitely use that. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So talk a little bit about that, because there are, different coffee shops and different options. How have you set yourself apart in the coffee shop game?
Yeah, so I think I've really set myself apart in the fact that we still make all of our own syrups. While I exited Sav Syrups, I still make syrups for the Savvy Bean. That was part of the deal. So we still make all of our own syrups.
Only get them at the Savvy Bean, is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, you can okay. only get them okay. in the coffee at the Savvy Bean.
Okay.
I don't sell them, unfortunately, but yep, you can only get them at the Savvy Bean. Mine are still, the recipes that I use are still different than from what mm-hmm. Sav Syrups and whoever has that now
mm-hmm.
Makes them. So they are still different in that as well. And then I think just mixing coffee and acai, those are two very different things. And I was just they're both great. Let's put them together.
Yeah. Well, what a great way for somebody to start their day. If they get both of those, it is fresh. You get energy. Yeah. You're ready to go.
Absolutely. And there's only one acai place in the Cedar Valley. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
okay.
Two, I guess. There's a food truck as well that travels. But in terms of brick and mortars, I'm the second one. And
okay.
The first one just came here recently. So.
And so was that something that you opened with both of those, or did you start with the coffee and then the acai came later?
I opened with both of them.
Okay.
So my goal was, I kind of knew that while coffee is great, I needed something else to get people in the space and something else that people would enjoy and something different to add to Waterloo. So I opened with both, and then shortly after we got food and stuff, which is great too because we all need a little snack.
No, awesome. And so you saw an opportunity, you went for it, even though it wasn't the perfect time. And you got the product put together. How have you generated interest or attention to bring folks into your business?
Oh boy, good question. So I've never considered myself really good at marketing. So this one was kind of a tough one, but I did buy the old social media pages from the business that was there before me. So mm-hmm. I kind of started with a pretty good following, which was awesome.
And I bet they were excited to see somebody come in and keep that spot going to have coffee there.
Yeah. The previous owners had some tough times during COVID, and mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of why they wanted out, but they definitely wanted Downtown Waterloo to have something to continue the legacy on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I think like the one of the biggest things for me was like telling the world who I am and what I'm bringing to the table in Waterloo. I think it's so important to tell your story, but like your story, the person behind the business, because I mean, we don't want to just know the business. We want to know the person who started it, who's running it, and know their story so we feel like we know them. And I think that's just human nature. So I think like telling my story and sharing that on social media was a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm. And so talk about what you were sharing, you know, because some people, they don't know, is video better? Is photo better? Should I do a one reel a day? Maybe just share what's worked with you and how you've been sharing stuff so far.
Yeah, so I just shared like a picture of myself and I was like, this is who I am. I'm opening this new business, I'm taking over. So I think I just post a lot of pictures and they seem to work really well. I posted one reel and it also did okay. I'm not super great at reels, but something I definitely want to get more into.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just kind of post pictures of our products. And when we get new things, I post pictures of those. And I think that works out really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I what I like that you've shared is you're willing to try stuff. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, obviously starting the business, moving into a location, that's all new, but I know that's a lot of something that a lot of the folks that we talk to in terms of marketing is they want to do the exact right thing or know exactly mm-hmm. right how to bring people in. And there's a little bit of best practices and you can talk to the people to get ideas, but you're not going to know until you do it if that was the right move or not. And then you have to pivot after that. Do you have any advice to, you know, other businesses who are maybe struggling with doing well on social media or getting that same attention?
I think just show the world who you are and what your goal is. Like, people need to know the goal of your company, kind of what you're trying to do, what your values and mission is with the business. I think that's really important. And then I think just being somewhat consistent, so not just posting and then leaving your page for a month. I'd say post pretty consistently and then just show the world what you have to offer. Show the world your product. Show them yourself, show them your team, and just share everyone's story because they care and they want to know. Mm-hmm. The people do.
Awesome. And as we kind of get closer to the end of our podcast today, I'm curious, you know, your plan wasn't to start really in college, but that's what happened. Do you have any, well, first of all, I'm sure it was very challenging to start in college. Is that fair to say?
I would say it was challenging, but I would say that college was a little bit of a safety net if something okay. were to go wrong or if I were to not succeed, which can be a part of it in business, is you don't win every time, you don't mm-hmm. succeed every time. You've got to learn a little bit. So I don't think it was impossible, though. I think college is probably the best time to start a business.
Interesting. Okay. So 'cause that would probably be different than what other people that I've listened to have heard before. And so one, you're saying it's a great time to do it because you kind of have that fallback, that safety net. And then would you have any advice beyond that about going ahead and starting?
I would say my biggest piece of advice is you're not going to know everything when you start. Take it one day at a time and, like, do your research and ask people around you, network, and reach out to the college for help. Like, whatever college you're going to, I'm sure they have resources that can help you, and take advantage of those while you have them. I know UNI, for example, has a whole entrepreneurship program with the John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center. So it was really great. They've had me compete in pitch competitions where I've won money to fund some of my businesses.
Wow.
Sav Syrups at the time. So there's all kinds of resources out there. And college is just amazing for being able to utilize those. And like I said, having that safety net. So.
Yeah. Well, and I actually, if I remember right, there was kind of an interesting testimonial that you had that came out of one of those competitions. Is that correct?
Do you remember what it was?
Wasn't it like one of the Cuban brothers? Wasn't that part of that?
Oh, yeah. So it wasn't part of the competition, but I actually used LinkedIn and one of the Cuban brothers messaged me and he was trying to sell me his book and I was like, well, I've tried to sell you some syrups. So
did you do a trade then or what did you end up doing? Oh, wow. No kidding.
And I actually really loved his book. So it was a fair trade and he loved the syrups. And
how did he find out about that or what caused him to message you to sell you his book? But
well, I think part of it was just I don't really know how LinkedIn works. I don't use it a whole lot. But I think it was probably just an automated message that he sent out. And then I just took advantage of that opportunity.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's another good lesson. Just, you know, even if somebody sends you an automated message, it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that is fascinating.
Yeah, then we got to talking a little bit. And he was super great. Great story. Mm-hmm. I mean, both the Cuban brothers, any of the Cuban family, all have a great story. So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay. Well, good. Well, hey, Savannah, thank you so, so much for your time today, sharing your experience, kind of the different roads that you've gone on with your different businesses and how they're going. We really appreciate your time today. Is there anything else you'd like to share just as we wrap up this morning?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you again for your time, and thank you for tuning in to the Raisin Brand Podcast. We'll talk to you all again soon.
Awesome. Thanks.
Raisin Brand is a podcast made for video professionals, marketing managers, top-notch designers, and ambitious minds, helping your business grow one topic at a time.